from Edible Radio, your loyal to local voice of edible communities. This is Edible Travel. And now here's your host, Kate Manchester.
Hi, everybody. This is Kate Manchester, and you're listening to Edible Travel on Edible Radio. Our guest is Diane Langlin, who, along with her husband, Doug, has been publishing Edible Cape Cod since July 2004, which makes her one of our oldest edibles, our longest-running edibles. Before launching Edible Cape Cod, Diane spent more than 20 years as a marketing professional at various technology companies on both the left and the right coast. Welcome, Diane. How are you today?
Thank you.
So you came from the corporate world, and tell me a little bit how running Edible Cape Cod has changed you.
Tremendously. Back in before 2004, both Doug and I were feeling the burn, and we wanted to get out of our corporate jobs, and we're trying to figure out something we could do together. I was a marketing professional, and he was a pharmaceutical executive. And he had taken a sabbatical and gone to the French Culinary Institute and decided that he really wanted to do something about food but not cook, because he was just too old, as he said, to be a professional chef. And I was actually heading up a corporate philanthropic foundation, and I wanted to do something to give back to my community. And so we happened to pick up Savoir 2004 January issue, where they did their top 100. And number 22 was Edible Ojai, the food newsletter concept. We'd love to see crop up everywhere. And Doug said, "Eureka, we can do this on Cape Cod, where we have a second home and we want to move anyway." So we wrote to them, as did many people from around the world. And out of all the cards, letters, and calls they got, they selected us to be their pilot program, because they thought it would be really cool to help other people start edible publications as well. So it's been 12 years. We're the second oldest, and it's just been an amazing lifestyle change. I can't even begin to, cover everything that's changed about our lives. But basically, we're more plugged into our community. We have friends who are farmers and fishermen and chefs, and it's just really a wonderful community to be part of.
And a great change. And boy, we're glad you were the pilot program, because I think we're 90 plus edibles at this point. And you guys set the bar pretty high, for sure. So today we want to talk about a road trip. And I know that I grew up in Rhode Island, and every summer my dad would take us out to Cape Cod. And it was one of those, I was a little kid, so I never really, I was aware of the Cape. I knew where we went, but I don't really know much, to be honest, about the Cape. Tell us a little bit about the Cape, its different neighborhoods, how it's set up.
Sure. The Cape, as probably everybody can visualize, looks like a bicep, an arm being flexed. And it actually comprises 15 towns on the mainland. People always clump Nantucket and Martha's Vineyard with the Cape, but people on either one of those islands consider us America, and they are Martha's Vineyard or Nantucket. So for the sake of this conversation, we're going to talk about the mainland. There are 15 towns on the mainland, and within each town, there are villages. So we actually live in Barnstable Village in Barnstable Town in the county of Barnstable. Confused? Yes. So is everybody else. But it's broken up into sections, typically. The Upper Cape, which is the section closest to the mainland. The Mid Cape, which stretches, through the bicep around the elbow. And then the outer, the lower and outer Cape, which goes all the way to Provincetown. And so when you asked me to talk about what to do on the Cape, I really had to do it by town, because you could spend your whole day driving up and down the Cape. It's, really not that long, but the roads just take that long to travel if you were to go from Provincetown to Sandwich.
So let's talk a little bit about these different towns. And so if we were going to take a road trip, if I'm going to take a road trip, which I know I will, I do have a road trip planned to the Cape this summer, what should I not miss? Like, what are some of the top foodie things to do and see and eat and all of that?
Sure. Rather than starting at the bridge, I'm going to start at the Outer Cape, which is Provincetown. And that's probably one of the towns that most people have read about. It's got a great culture, rich culture within the gay community. It's very vibrant, lots of artists, lots of plays, performances. It's just it's a great place to go for the day if you can't spend the night. But one of the really cool things that you can do in Provincetown is actually learn about an aquaculture grant, which is in the Tidal Flats of Provincetown. And there's a husband and wife who run a business called Cape Cod Native Secrets. And given the right tide conditions and time of day, they'll take out groups of 2 to 32 to their aquaculture grant. And you can harvest your own oysters and clams or fish for lobsters or catch just a breathtaking sunset aboard their 34-foot sailboat. It's just really unique opportunity. There are many, many oyster grants up and down the Cape, but most of them just don't offer this opportunity. So this is a really good chance to find out how do you grow oysters. And there are tasty little treats to bring home and eat. And then Provincetown also has a very rich Portuguese heritage. They came over to work the fishing boats, and many of them stayed. And there's a Portuguese bakery that's been in business for more than 100 years. It's been owned by the same family since the 1970s, who took on the recipes of the previous owners, and then took their recipes and then added their own Portuguese favorites. So they're famous for their fried dough, which you see right in the window. They've got a glass front window right on Commercial Street. And they also have sweet savories that are filled with custard or cream, and savory pastries that are filled with linguica and egg or salted codfish. And my husband, Doug, really loves their bafana, which is a sandwich made of tender pork shoulder that's been marinated in fresh garlic, paprika, secret herbs, and white wine for a minimum of 24 hours. And then it's served on a homemade Portuguese roll and crowned with a perfectly fried egg and served with lettuce, tomato, onion, and french fries. And he just, that makes him swoon. And there's also the old aquarium, which was converted into an arcade of small storefronts. And they just have a bunch of different little inexpensive places where you can get everything from Southern barbecued to Thai. But there is also native Cape Cod seafood that's owned by a shellfish. And then you can just grab an inexpensive lunch or dinner and bring it out back. And they have tables set up. And you can just overlook the harbor and enjoy the view, enjoy a cold drink or some oysters right there. And it's just a nice, cheap way to enjoy the view.
Nice. Really nice. Okay, Provincetown. So we're working our way back now.
Yes. Truro Vineyards. You will drive right by Truro Vineyards as you go into Provincetown. There is a large wine cask elevated above the vines. They had pioneered the arts of maritime grape growing on the Cape. They're a green winery. They sell their own red, white, and rosé wines. And then in 2014, they launched their first craft distillery on the Cape since Prohibition. They make small-batched, twice-distilled spirits, including rum. And just this year, they launched a gin. And they offer tastings every half an hour from 11:30 to 4:30, Monday through Saturday, and 12:30 to 4:30 on Sunday. And on Wednesday nights, you can go there. And they have live music and appetizers and wine samples. And from 6 to 8, you can just enjoy the great outdoors and the lovely vineyard setting. Another really cool place in Truro is called Chekesset Chocolates. And they sell bars, box confections, and custom cakes made from chocolate handcrafted in small batches using sustainably grown beans right at their workshop there in North Truro. And it's just another fun little place to go to. You can buy your chocolates. You can get a drinking chocolate or a coffee beverage and smoothie. And there's a Joey's food truck parked right outside where you can get a burrito or taco or quesadilla. Again, another secret little place that is off the beaten path in Truro.
Nice.
I'm not going to hit every town because I can't do justice to 15 towns. I've got about half of them covered here. Orleans is getting closer to the Outer Elbow, and there's a really great little store there called the Local Scoop, where you can create your own ice cream sundae or frozen yogurt masterpiece using homemade ice cream made on premises. But even cooler is they have these handcrafted Cape Cod pops. And at the core is their organic ice cream or yogurt. And it and sometimes the flavors are made from other local products in the Cape, like Cape Cod beer or Toro Vineyards wine or their rum. And it's enrobed in a dark, rich milk, white, or dark chocolate, and then they roll them in some of the other food items that you can find on the Cape. Everything from local sea salt to peanut brittle to chocolate-covered coffee beans to granola. I just love the spirit of this place. This the woman who owns this with her three kids, and she's younger than I am. The kids are still very young, but it's a family affair, and she started the Slow Food Convivium on Cape Cod, and she really believes in supporting other businesses. So we really love to give them a shout out.
Very nice.
Cool. And so Chatham is, again, right on the elbow here, and it's a wonderful community of a lot of fishermen. It's a big fishing community. Mm-hmm. And I want to start you off with breakfast at the Little Chatham Municipal Airport. It's called Hangar B Eatery. They actually serve breakfast and lunch from 7 to 2, but if they're not flying, the eatery is not open. If it's foggy, you know, call for it.
They're closed.
They
yeah.
They're
That's
closed.
Great. That is great. And it does get foggy in Cape Cod, by the way.
It does. So you can watch the planes take off and land while you eat classics like Eggs Benedict or Huevos Rancheros. But he also serves up a red flannel hash that, again, is a favorite in our house. And it's made with fresh local beets mixed with sweet Yukon gold potatoes, bacon and onions, and it's just, a perfectly cooked egg again, and it's just, to die for. And the chef owner there also makes daily buttermilk donuts and other baked goods, as
wow.
well as some amazing strawberry thyme balsamic jam or raspberry red wine vinegar jam. We always have some in our refrigerator here. Our friends know if they're in Chatham to bring us back.
That's
The Cape Cod Commercial Fishermen's Association has a big presence on the Cape. It is basically all the local fishermen come together and they support each other. And one of the things that we do to sponsor this wonderful organization is to host the pier program at the Chatham, at the fish pier at Chatham Harbor. And basically what it is they underwrite have seasoned retired fishermen stand on the docks Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 9 to 1 during the summer up till October. And as the boats come in and unload their catch, they explain to people what the fish is, what the day, what it was like when they were on the boats, and talk about this, just how important it is to protect this traditional way of life on the Cape. And we've been doing this for 3 years, and we just think it's a wonderful program.
I just want to interrupt you for a second because I think this is an amazing program. And again, if you're traveling to Cape Cod, this is exactly, Cape Cod sustained itself for hundreds of years on local fishing. So this is something not to be missed. I actually really love this, and I'm looking forward to doing this. I really, really like this program.
It's really special, and it's free. So you can just stand there and enjoy the wonderful view. You'll probably see the seals in the harbor, and I think we've actually had our first great white shark sighting already because...
Wow.
With all the seals, being attracted to all the fish, but guess who comes next on the food chain?
Yeah, exactly. My gosh.
So, yeah. After you've done that, we suggest you head up the street to the 102-year-old Chatham Bars Inn, which was originally developed as a semi-private hunting lodge for wealthy Boston vacationers. It's just a fabulous spot to enjoy a cool drink on a wide veranda overlooking Pleasant Bay and the Atlantic Ocean. And they have their own farm just right up the road, so their produce is featured widely on their menu. And Thursdays in July and August, you can have a traditional clam bake on the beach. And you have to have a traditional clam bake when you come to the Cape.
I absolutely agree. That is absolutely not to be missed. Not to be missed.
Especially in such a fabulous setting. So I'm going to move us to the Mid-Cape area. Hyannis, everybody knows Hyannis. It's where the Kennedy clan have their famous compound. There's lots of Kennedy, there's a Kennedy Library, there's a Kennedy Museum, and there are over 40 family-owned and operated restaurants on Main Street serving everything, wow. Cuisines from around the globe, British, Indian, Irish, Italian, and of course, New England classics like fish and chips and stuffed toe hogs, especially at the waterfront location. There's an FOOD logo that designates fabulous owner-operated dining establishments where the owner is committed to being on site daily to ensure they offer the best and freshest dining in the area. And a great way to sample a variety of the tastes the village has to offer is to take a Cape Cod foodie tour. Just dress comfortably and wear sturdy shoes. You'll walk almost 2 miles in a 2.5-3 hour time period, sampling everything from clam chowder to something sweet, and get a mini history lesson in the process. We did this a couple of years ago, and I was just stunned at how much we didn't know about Hyannis, and we live, 5 minutes away. So Cape Cod beer is also in Hyannis, and it was born the same year as edible Cape Cod, so we have a very soft spot in our hearts for this fabulous microbrewery owned by husband and wife Beth and Todd Marcus. They're constantly growing and evolving. We can't keep up with them. They were launched in 2004 with only a few brews and a handful of accounts, and today you can find them at over 350 bars and restaurants from the bridge to Provincetown. And with 20 different beers, there's one for every taste. They offer nice. Guided tours once daily, Monday through Saturday at 11 a.m., and then you can also take a self-guided tour and tasting anytime during the day. And during the summer, they have a hot dog truck on site and their beer garden where you can work in your can while sampling their beer. And they also host a farmer's market on Friday afternoons from 3 to 6. So they are just really plugged into the community and just offer, they're just great representatives of the food community on the Cape.
I like it.
So now I'm going to take you to Woods Hole, home to the renowned Maritime Research Labs. We call it HUI, Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute. And there's no shortage of colorful characters in Woods Hole. It's a magnet for scientists and sailors, bikers, and beach bums. You can go to the Woods Hole Science Aquarium or the Science Exhibit Center, which is a great place to bring the family. To grab a great little breakfast, you would want to stop at Pie in the Sky. They have freshly baked croissants, popovers, and breads, which are delicious any time of the day. But they're also delicious stuff with deli delights. And they make homemade soups and great desserts, pies, quiches, coffee made and roasted in-house. So any sort of brew that you prefer is available there. And Woods Hole has been having a food renaissance in this past year or so. But Quick Hole Tavern probably started that whole renaissance. They offer casual yet elegant menu with breathtaking views of Woods Hole Passage. So it's located right on the corner near the Steamship Authority, and it's a perfect place to grab a bite before hopping on the bus or the ferry to Martha's Vineyard. It has a commitment to farm-to-table sourcing. Menu changes with the seasons. Favorites include the mushroom Angus burger, but go crazy outside your comfort zone with the pig candy appetizer, which is made from house-smoked pork shoulder braised in maple syrup, served on guava puree with a celery sprout finish. So that little bit of healthiness at the end.
That sounds amazing.
And right next to Woods Hole is Falmouth and Coonamessett Farm, home of Coonamessett Farm, which is a 20-acre farming and research enterprise. You can pick your own seasonal produce there. They grow everything from arugula to zucchini, blueberries to husk cherries. You can visit their Nigerian dwarf goats. They have baby doll sheep and miniature Mediterranean donkeys. A cafe store right there where you can grab a quick bite. On Friday nights in the summer, they have farm dinners from 5 to 8:30 with different themes. Last week was Jamaican. This week it's Cajun. They have a lot of farmhands from outside of the Cape that cook on the premises, and people just, smell their food and they want to have what they're having. So they kind of institutionalize it as a weekly farm dinner. And this year they've got a pop-up restaurant there called the Buffalo Jump, which will feature Native American-inspired cuisine. Interesting. We haven't tried that yet, but we've
been to... Well, that should be interesting, too, because the Native American cuisine on the Cape is certainly different from the Native American cuisine on you know, in New Mexico, for example.
Absolutely. The Wampanoag tribe is right here on the Cape, and they do have a very different cuisine from probably, yeah, definitely from the West Coast and Santa Fe. So finally, I'm going to just take you to Sandwich, which is on the north side in the Upper Cape. Again, that's the side closest to the mainland. It's the oldest town on the Cape, and it's got plenty of history and working museums. The Hoxie House is the oldest house in the Cape. The Sandwich Glass Museum houses original pieces created during the 1800s. And the Heritage Museum and Gardens have over 100 acres of display gardens and an antique auto museum. And at the Belfry Inn and Bistro, you can dine in a converted 1901 church built by sailors. And it kept a lot of the original elements, the stained glass windows and soaring oak ceilings and a confessional that's been reconverted as a wine cellar. And they've got a new chef there. He's new to the Belfry, but he's not new to the Cape. His name is Toby Hill. He just is very creative. He does offer some of the predictable clam chowder, chilled seafood platter, fish and chips that you think of when you think of the Cape. But he also has some unexpected items like duck bolognese and chicken fried pork loin and extra virgin olive oil poached salmon. And in the warm weather, they have an outside patio. And again, Wednesday night, they have this wine tasting. It's from, I believe it's from 6 to 7. And you get four different samples of wines and tastes of great stuff coming out of the kitchen there. And usually it's a local wine distributor who, you know, leads you through the process, tells you what you're tasting, and you can buy wine at a discount there. So that is a very quick tour of some of the towns in the Cape. I certainly haven't done it all justice, but try to cover a lot of different things you can do.
This is great, Diane. Thank you so much. And we're looking forward to our road trip to Cape Cod. And be sure to pick up a copy of Edible Cape Cod if you happen to be lucky enough to do your own road trip this summer. And if not, check us out on ediblefeast.com, ediblecapecod.com, and we will have all of the info there for you that Diane Langland, publisher of Edible Cape Cod, provided for us. Diane, thank you so much for being our guest today. We're looking forward to our Edible Cape Cod road trip.
Yeah, well, enjoy. It's a great time to be on the Cape.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to Edible Travel from Edible Radio, your loyal to local voice of edible communities. For more information, visit ediblefeast.com. Thank you.